I speak to you in the name of the God of healing and mercy. Amen. Annie Lamott is a writer. Have you ever read Annie Lamott? If you took Irma Bombeck, Billy Graham, and Gilda Radner and mixed them all up, you'd get Annie Lamott. In one of her books, Annie remembers the church in San Francisco that she stumbled into on her improbable pilgrimage of faith, mostly made up of African-American women, led by a pastor named Veronica. Annie writes this, "Why, our preacher Veronica said recently that this is life's nature, that lives and hearts get broken. Those are people we love, those are people we'll never meet." She said that the world sometimes feels like the waiting room of the emergency ward, and that we who are more or less okay for now need to take the tenderest possible care of the more wounded people in the waiting room until the healer comes. You sit with people, she said, you bring them juice and graham crackers. And then she went on vacation. Traveling mercies, the old people in our church said to her when she left. This is what they always say when one of us goes off for a while. Traveling mercies, love the journey. God is with you. Come home safe and sound. Is it too hard to imagine Jesus calling out after the lepers who were headed toward the priests, traveling mercies? The 10 were certainly broken and scarred by life, and in need of the tenderest possible care. And while juice and graham crackers belong to our world and not theirs, they needed healing and hope. As lepers, they lived beyond the rest of the community, shunned and feared in equal measure. Even when the healer came, they kept their distance and called out, "Jesus, Master, Kyrie eleison, have mercy on us." When I see people like them, I feel deep and painful feelings, and their sorrow reaches out and scars my heart. When I was the dean of the cathedral in Buffalo, we lived in Buffalo, and on my way to work one morning, driving downtown to the cathedral, I sat at the stoplight of a street close to downtown. As I sat there, a woman ambled across the street, stopping every few steps to gaze up at the sky, and then shake her head and suck hard on her lips and rub her stomach. Step by step, she inched her way across the intersection, leaving me feeling just pained by her lostness. And I'm sure had I stayed there longer, I might have seen 9 others just like her. Nearly every day, people came to the cathedral hoping to find a crumb of mercy or healing. They would sit in the corner with their heads drooping over the railing. They would stand by the votive candle stand, trying to write on the prayer cards the inaudible cries of their hearts or the longings of their battered souls. One day I went in the cathedral and discovered a young woman sitting on the floor behind the high altar, covered with a coat in August to keep out the unmerciful chill of the world. We have children who suffer agonies of loneliness and disfigurement, and we bear the sorrow of those whose beauty is gone. And I always feel deep and painful feelings when I see these people. Even if I could do nothing, I feel their sorrow. But if we look in the New Testament for compassion and permission to feel sad for the pain of others, we will be disappointed. If we are in the waiting room of the world's emergency ward, the wounded people sitting there don't need just our deep feelings. They need juice and graham crackers. They need somebody to help filling out their forms. Perhaps they need somebody to talk to. I'm sure they need somebody to help them. So instead of Jesus responding to the lepers by feeling their pain, he gave them directions. Go and show yourselves to the priests. It's that simple. No feelings, just instructions. And simple instructions. Have you ever noticed how simple the important instructions are? You want to retire? Save your money, start early, and do it every month. Not big flip. Save your money, start early, and do it every month. That's simple. If you want to be healthy, eat sensibly well, exercise, and monitor your stress. That's simple. If you want to learn to write well, read good writing and practice. It's that simple. If you want to make basketball free throws, bend your knees, keep your eye on the front of the rim, and follow through. That's simple. Well, not that simple. You got to practice a lot, but it's that simple. This story of the healing of the 10 lepers is a wonderful tale of simple instructions and people in motion. While Jesus may have been, no doubt, was moved emotionally by the band of outcasts huddled at a distance from him, but he saw them. All he did was give them simple instructions. Go and show yourselves to the priests. If you want to be healed, take a journey. If you do, you will find traveling mercies. And as they went, they were made clean. But one of them noticed something happening on the way to the priests. So without waiting to reach his destination, he turned back, aware of his healing, praising God loudly. And here is Luke's twist to an otherwise ordinary tale of healing. The one leper who returned was even more of an outcast than the others. At least they were members of the community. But this one, though he was cleansed, was a foreigner. And with a judgment we now recognize after a year of listening to Luke, we can almost join in chorus to echo Jesus' evangelical question: was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? How far outside the circle do you have to be? How far outside do you have to lurk to know the traveling mercies of God's healing? Do you suppose this one foreigner was made more clean than the other nine? Or is it just that this outsider knew better than the rest how to receive a gift? In the end, the story is a Eucharistic tale. It spins with the energy of motion and movement. Jesus was going. 10 lepers approached. Go and show yourselves. As they went, he turned back. He prostrated himself and he thanked him. Endless motion. And all those restless motions lead to the thanksgiving of a leper made clean. Thanksgiving, Eucharist, the lifeline of traveling mercies and the silhouette of God's grace, all in this one story. What really bothers me about this simple story is that it is so simple. The leper's request is simple and from the heart. Jesus' instructions are simple and unadorned. The leper's response is simple and direct. The healing is simple without dramatics. The solitary turning back is simple and unexpected. And the falling down and the thanksgiving is simple and the sign of faith. You'd think the healing of leprosy would attract more fanfare. You would think. But it doesn't. And the thanksgiving that follows has no acolytes leading the way. It's that simple. We make everything more complicated than it needs to be. Do you want to grow the church? Just ask somebody to come with you and make room at the Lord's table for everyone. It's that simple. Do you want to fund our mission? Just give your tithe. Give back the first fruits of what God has given you. It is that simple. Do you want to know God and serve the world? Just go and do it. Do you want justice in our community? Just ask for mercy and go toward the mercy of God, and you will be made whole and your heart will be rid of fear and hate. And remember, the world is still inhabited by lepers seeking mercy. Lives and hearts are still being broken. Pastor Veronica from San Francisco is right. We need to keep praying traveling mercies for all those we meet. We may feel bad for such folks. We may even feel bad for ourselves when we find ourselves keeping some distance and reaching for hope. I do believe God sorrows for all the broken lives and hearts in the whole world. But feeling bad doesn't make us whole. Feeling bad doesn't make us whole. Going and showing, turning back and praising God and offering thanksgiving, that is the journey of salvation and healing. So, traveling mercies, everybody. Love the journey. God is with you. Come home safe and sound. Amen.